All right, greetings, 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 greetings to saints. Greetings, all of us who've managed to come here. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this wonderful moment of spare honor to be with your children in this hour. We know, Lord, it's never in vain when you invite us in such a time. There's always a blessing for us. And we admire you for that. And thank you for precious friends, Lord, who come here every time there's an invitation. And Lord, and honor and respect that. Thank you, gracious Lord. May you give them what they're hungering for. Because as long as we live in this world, we are always hungering for something, Lord. Always starving for something. So now, please provide them the blessings of this menu as they hunger and thirst after righteousness. Here we are as your church, as your people, as requesting your blessing in this hour. Thank you so much. Make this service go smoothly for your grace, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Greetings to saints again. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being part of what the Lord is doing in our time, for being connected. And when these small revelations and small inspirations come up, they are just there to keep us warmed up. They are no better than nobody else's. It's just different gifts. For me, being on just evangelistic most of the time, I enjoy when such times come. Yeah, so I hope we're all blessed. So as we'll just go straight to the Word of God. The question is why sometimes when other people or when we pray, things don't go as quickly as we anticipated or as the way we wanted to go. Every time when I chat about prayer or in this podcast, I always just stick to things that are just so basic, and I don't want to be complex. I don't want to be, because I'm here just helping just human beings, just our lives. Prayer is just one way to access God for everyone. There are things that are given to people like by their callings or by their whatever that they are called to do, apostles or whatever their missions. Others are called to do miracles. Others are called to have certain gifts. Others are called to teach. But prayer is just an allocation for us all. Yeah. So it's just one thing where we are common. It's like the blood of Jesus Christ. We are common there. Those things where we don't say, like holiness. Holiness is just all of us. It's not like preachers must be holy or wives must be holy. All of us. So prayer is one of those things where we just, if we talk about it, even a child, it must be so simple when it's addressed so that even a child can understand. So now the question is, why some prayers, or sometimes when we pray, it's answered, but sometimes not answered. And we need to find out that. Okay, we're going to go straight to the Word of God. James chapter 4. Verse 3. I'm going to read for myself because I wanted to appear to register on the recording. James chapter 4, verse 3. The Bible says, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. You ask and don't receive because you ask in a wrong way so that you might spend it in your pleasures. This is a very serious thing. Because the religious mentality of Christians is judged by their mindset, what the mind that they have towards God. That's why people today, others are atheists, others are whatever they are, others don't even believe in miracles, others don't believe in gifts. And when you trace this thing, it's all based on the mentality that that person has. When he looks at God, when he reads the Bible, there's a certain mind that he, that person has. And all this mentality is judged by what you ask from God, what you expect from God. When you are sick, do you expect God to heal you? Or you think healing is just a random thing? This just happened, like it's law that you must be spoiled in some days. Do you look at healing like that? That something that's just gonna, like nature, like, or it will heal itself like that. Then when somebody dies, okay, maybe that was his time to die. You know, that's how people look at things like that. The Christians who look at things like that, who don't believe that there is that prayer can alter a human life. They don't believe that prayer can add some days on your life when it's determined you die today, and the church prays and you don't die. People don't believe that. So now, why do we ask and we don't receive? The Bible says because we're going to spend in our lust, but we have to explain that. Because we don't know what is our lust. Now, the prayer is one way to test yourself if your mind is aligned with God's mind. The things you ask from God and the things you receive from God and the things you don't receive from God. There are one way, there's many ways, but I'll stick to that way today, which is prayer. There's prophecy, there's many other ways. There's one way to test if the mind you have is the mind of Christ. Remember, we are all born beyond repairs. In this nature that we are in, God doesn't trust us. This covering of flesh and blood that we are wearing is an enemy of God. And five senses that are attached to it, they are serving that, they transport that message to our minds. And then the judgment will stay there, and it will depend if you have the mind of Christ or the old mind. Then you will manipulate that, whatever this flesh is giving you. And that's where you win or you fail. The attitude that you respond by, that attitude that you or analyze an eye, that attitude after the senses give, like the senses will tell you that you are hungry. They'll tell you that you are whatever that they tell you. But that attitude that you capture before you even pray will determine that you are wrong in the eyes of God, or you are victorious in the eyes of God. So why is that? God has left us in this body of flesh to try us. He wants to test us, like he left Israel in the wilderness, wanted to try them. He could have just took them right away and gave them the promises, but he had to leave them in the wilderness to test them. How are they going to react in the, knowing that they are serving an all-powerful God, but he just leave them for years there in the wilderness. And whatever attitude they have there determine their future, their defeat and their victory. So when you read Philippians 2, I'm going to read verses, because sometimes when you are driving and you are listening to some podcasts, the verses are inspirational. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. The Bible says, Philippians 2, verse 5. 2, verse 5. Let the mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6 explains what does it mean. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Attitude, yeah, number 7. But made himself, not God, himself, of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8, where he valued up, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, when we read the story of Christ, we usually have this mindset that he was a superman. He had special feelings. His blood was holy. Probably he was not tempted. Probably he was this man that was had this super divine nature of some sort. Do you know that all that thing, that the super, the being a son of God, the divine, whatever that Christ is for us and in God, it had to be revealed to him as his kingdom is revealed to us today. He was a man. We had to learn doubts and learn, because if he came just being supernatural, then the redemption was a robbery. Redemption was based on this fact that Adam, a man, fell to the flesh. He was in the image of God. Then from the image of God, the body was created, and he was put in this dust. And in this flesh, that's where he fell. That's where the devil tempted him. So God had to overcome as a man. When the last Adam, Christ, came on the picture, he had to be a man so that the devil won't be cheated. If it was a man who fell, it must be a man who conquers the devil. That is this whole most important thing about the cross, is that a man, Christ Jesus, a man like you, had to experience. That's why he prayed till morning, waiting for the answers from God. He didn't get a special, we worship him because of the decision. Not that God arrange things for him, special, like a special grace of some sort. No. He had to learn. He had to be woken up by visions and angels, and he had to be lazy to go to prayer, and he had to fight his doubts and overcome every element of the flesh so that he goes there and obey. That's why we obey him. That's why I forgot where I went. I think I was in a music, the bookshop, where I saw some activists, white activists here, who has a bookshop here where I love visit. I buy books from them. They have this antique thing about their bookshop, and they have old pictures and stuff. So they also have Mandela things, pictures of Mandela and all other revolutionaries and stuff. And so one of the writings, or one of the books in there about Mandela, It's about why is he worshipped so much. And then there's a writing somewhere in one of the quotations that it was Mandela's solemn decision that South Africa became what it is today. You can say, if you are EFF, whatever, you can say it's still not it's white people or whatever this communist mentality people have. You can say it's still no financial economy, whatever it is. But check all other countries in Africa who were once dominated by the British or the French. Check all those countries and check if there's any one of them like South Africa. I'm talking about an existing country, let alone economical imbalance, because that's even just a, it's a weak argument. We have got 30 years where a certain 1% of politicians were stealing billions from this government and storing it overseas. The leadership of the ANC, and it said they have billions of investment overseas, billions of things they bought by their families. Inganza was funda pressure. They don't need this country no more to survive. So the reparation part of wealth was, for the past 30 years, was about enriching a politician. So someone who's going to use an argument that we're still having no economical balance is lying. Politicians got rich. They did get money. It's just the poor people that didn't get money. So it's not the white people should be blamed for that. It's the politicians, whatever the ANC decided. So now the answer about why Mandela is praised. I want to explain this thing of Christ. It's because when he was in Robben Island, and there was no, actually, there was outside here, there was this Soweto uprising and the young people taking over there. Whatever they were doing there, boycotting Africans, that was not the ANC. That's just the young people frustrated by oppression. All the leadership of the ANC was in Robben Island. And that Robben Island, the international face was only folk negotiating with Nelson Mandela. Not with all of them together. Only one person. That one person, it was explained to him what's going to happen. He was shown that ever since there's been this war in Africa, in South Africa, since 1956 till now, about 80% of people who died was black people killing black people. Very few instances where police were shooting people. Okay, we can say they were manipulated, but it was black people torturing black people, burning people by tires, all these places. It was just black people. In Maostela, it was black people. Now, whatever violence is going to come, if you're going to give black people guns to kill white people have connections overseas, they're just going to be rescued by the CIA, and Africa will be left, black people slaughtering black people. He had to make a decision alone that we all have to forgive white people and we create a new rainbow nation of whatever, which was very unfair to what Bokrisan were fighting for, that we should demand the farms and things. But he was told that once that is done, there will be no South Africa left. It will be a ghost town where black people are killing each other, and we'll be leaving this country trying to be a makwerekwere in other nations. Like all Africans up there, they're going to London there. They leave Bokanya, they leave all these things. Those who are close to, they live in, like this guy, I forgot his name now, Felicia, the guy who was financing that Ugandan massacre, the Tutsis and all that. And that guy who was a billionaire was financing that. He was saying, let's just get rid of the Tutsi people. And when this thing got an international eye, when this thing now, the whole world was condemning it, And then the Europeans and the Americans were hunting who is responsible for this. All the rich people, all the rich politicians of that country, they took flight and went to hide in France, hide in London. They all left. The very same people who were funding the corruption, the killing, black to black, they left. That's how the people of this world think. They left, and now they were hunting him over the years until they arrested him later. So South Africa was going to be like that. It was just going to be like that. It was going to be a matter of Amazon killing Khoisans and all that thing. And after that, the rich was going to leave. So they praised Mandela for that. It was his own mentality to decide. That's why I'm a social MK, maybe I'm touring in Klambalapa, when he came there to present that let's throw these guns and pangas to the sea. They insulted. Oh, lucky they were insulting him. Babim Tuga, they banned his car actually in that when he came to say it. He was rescued by a helicopter. So Jesus is a man is praised for the decisions he made alone. Jesus, this was Jesus' decision as a man, even though it was ordained. But he decided as a man, when he was tested by those Pharisees and betrayed by Judases and all that terror and fear, and he had to decide to die for all humanity. So that mind that was in him, that him having a chance to be something great, to be worshipped, like all politicians want to be worshipped, like all these great people, he had to betray that and choose to suffer even to death. That mentality is so contrary, is so alien from our mentality. We are born not having that mind. That's why you go to school, the first thing you learn is competition. The first thing you are taught at school is to be better than somebody else. Is to be number one. Is to be that competition spirit is the enmity, is enmity with God. God wants us to consider ourselves less than other people. But what we are taught from school, from day one, is that if you're doing better, people must clap hands for you. And the one who's doing wrong must be put in a black shadow. So Jesus, the mind that we are born with, is so contrary. And ubungozi is when, while we use that old mind, the mind of the world, the mind of competition, the mind of being greater than somebody else, the mind of being better than somebody else, the mind of belittling other people, while we're having that mind, we come to pray to God. It is based on the nature, the instinct of human being, the human nature. That's where it fails. It's not that when you pray, you go down there and just have it. You, in your mind, you picture yourself having this Lamborghini, having this lifestyle, traveling the world, and all these things. No. You are, the religion mind will make you think you are humble. The religious mind will make you think that you have sacrificed. But the nature that you are relying on, the inspiration that is on you as you pray, is of the old intelligence. And that's where everything becomes corrupted God. That's why sometimes God can answer prayers of people who are less in morals, sometimes who are not as holy or as what, but they just get there and get things from God easy. And people that are so religious, they don't get things so easy, because they don't see that they are still using that competitive, holy than thou, deserving entitlement mentality. And that is what you are taught from day one. From day one, when somebody buys anything else, somebody has a phone, there's a mind in you that, how can I get it better than him? When somebody buys a car, there's a mind that says, How can I get a better car than him? When somebody has a house. But Jesus, if you can stay longer in Jesus, you'll end up praying, how can I get a phone so I can save more people that cannot afford that phone? How can I get a car so that I can save more people who cannot get that car? How can I get a house that people who can never get that house might feel privileged and feel inspired and feel, if they ever come to that house that I'll be having? Or it's your mentality is changed from you. Because you can have a beautiful house and be the most miserable or lonely person until you commit suicide in that house. It's about, why do you want these things? Now, until your mind aligns with the mind of God, with the mind of Christ. Because remember, when you read, we're answering, why prayers not answered? The Bible says you ask amiss, and we're answering that. Can you read Matthew 10, when the rich young ruler, it's Mark 10, when the rich young ruler went to Jesus. It always stuck in my mind. Why did that guy got offended? It always bothered me. Because this was a holy man. This was a righteous man who has lived his life according to the standard of the laws of that time in his nation. He was spotless. He had even courage to go to Jesus and tell him in the face that from youth he has kept all those things. What else was he supposed to do? And he came requesting what was supposed to be a revelation, because nobody had taught publicly that Jesus was there to give eternal life. So he was just praying for the sick, and if he had anything that was mysterious, he told it to his apostles. He never preached such deep things about eternal life and adoption to the crowds. And how did this guy knew that this person here is here to give us eternal life? So that's how deep he was in the things of God. He was not just searching for prosperity or stuff or things of this world. He was high above. That's why Jesus loved him. He was not there searching for most of the people that were there were seeking healing and stuff. He was seeking eternal life. Now, when you read verse 25, the Bible says, I'm reading for myself, so bear with me. Mark 10, verse 25, the Bible says, okay, I want to jump there. Okay, it's Matthew, it's Luke, I'm on Luke, just give me a chance. It's Mark 10. I want to read it so that when you're meditating and driving, whatever you're doing, you have verses to listen to. Mark 10, 25. And it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus said that after this young man was offended when he said he must give all his riches to the poor. As I told you before, it's the mentality that we have. Remember, this young man, he was competitive from the very first day he was born. And he was obedient to every hardship to make him successful. And he was looking at, successful people, when they look at you, if you're not successful, they have a very, they might not tell you, but they have a, like some kind of a judgmental spirit that when they look at you, that either you're stupid or lazy or something. There is something that they, it's like when you find white people talk alone, you know, when they talk about black people. You know, sometimes when you are so humble, they will even like make a mistake and comment like that in your presence. You know, you people, you know these people right now. I don't know what's wrong with them. You know, they're so like, they don't think much, my friend. You know, I justify it because they think it's going to offend you. They say, no, you know what I mean? Why do they do that? You can say that amongst them, white people, when they look at us, we're fools. Because of the way generally we behave. We're always depending on them. We're always running them for jobs. We are always psychologically, I mean, like, you cannot blame them when they put that judgment. That's their way of looking at things. I remember there was a brother when we usually, when we were with this, most of the time, when I, before I went down the evangelistic campaign, the churches that I used to tell about, Abazalwani in Joburg, and we used to have a brother in Dangasis, in Ikopa there. This brother was colored. And sometimes you will just say, hey, you know, I mean, like, I don't understand that people are so stupid. You know, you can see, okay, all others, races, coloreds, Indians, and black people are, there is that question mark. Like, they are not so clever. That's why when I remember one white Afrikaner guy who's on retirement now. There was one black guy who was so much always on time at work. He was always on time, always like he's performing and stuff. When that black guy was resigning, this white man said, "You are the only, you are the only soldier." Because this white man was in the army, so he used the army code. He said, "You are the only man in army." In this company, I could allow to be behind me. It's like in army, like where the only person you allow to be behind is the person you trust. So because this man, black man, was so performing, he was impressed that this is one black man that doesn't behave like the rest. Others, they come late, they are always not performing. So it's a debate of other day why black people are like this. I don't know. But again, the rich people have this thing because of the hardships and the discipline they go through to achieve what they have. Now, when they see the bunch of poor people there, they look at them as, these are stupid people or these are lazy people. There's always a name they give to those people. And now this young man, he had to overcome all of that negative energy to overcome, to be something higher than all these poor people, which he always, he had to he sees them wasting their time doing nothing, and he's working, and he's doing, and he's looking at these people behaving like this. And now Jesus is saying, all that he worked so hard for, he lived every day not to think like these people. He read books so that he doesn't think about these people. He had to run from this mediocre. He had to shut himself out, wake up in the morning, do all these things, exercise, whatever they do. To eat healthy and read mind-blowing things to make sure that he is above the social thinking of poor people. And now these lazy, dumb people, which he has a constant condemnation in his heart, is told to give all what he worked for to them. Who? You see, It's the mind that is tested. And when that mind is still on the previous domain, then you won't get something from God. It's just the mind. It's just a little tricky thing. how a person thinks. And that something that he thinks, sometimes God answers him by just silence. When God doesn't answer a prayer, sometimes that's the answer. But because your mind is still led back there in that world of competition and worries and being better than so-and-so, and you think God did not answer. That's why the Bible say we so that we can spend it in our pleasures. So this young man with a perfect background, with a perfect pedigree, comes before God to ask for what is perfect, for what he was there for. He leaves being offended because the only thing he lived for had to be sacrificed. He lived for reputation. He lived to be, whenever there's weddings and funerals, he lived to be recognized while he comes and to sit with the Jones. And that is the greatest thing that he could not sacrifice. He could sacrifice sin. He could sacrifice anything else God wanted, but he could not sacrifice that. It's all he lived for. It was not the money that he was having a problem to give. It was the people he had to give to. He already judged those people lazy. He has acquired 7 degrees, worked up every, and now he's going to give these people whom he knows. But tell me, Chondo Lapa, they sleep the whole day and they Baba Mitisana, they have children in 20s. Why they have so many children while they are poor, I don't understand. These people are stupid. Every day he's passing them there. He's asking himself, why are these people staying in squatter camps? Can they do something better? Oh, they're stupid, these people. And every time when he has to pay them, they are easily manipulated. He manipulates them and gives them a cheap pay. He knows that these people cannot think. He knows that this money will never be used for better investment. Now Jesus is saying that it must be given to them. So that's number one. Now, when you read, there's many verses, you'll find in 1 Corinthians 1:25, why does this happen? It's the mind problem. When you read 1 Corinthians 1, you'll find the answer there. It's two different worlds altogether. That's why there's many people who admire my preaching. There's many people who are great, who admire my preaching. But I always run away from them because I know they're going to fail the test. Others used to call me, Kwanzaa, people visit, and I don't tell them the story because I know they're going to fail to circle with the people of just humble living as we are. I mean, like the way we serve God, the simplicity that we have. We are not up to the blowing things up. And someone was telling me that in these churches, someone bought a 1 million sound system. It's always about blowing things out of proportion. Get bigger. Have a TV program. Get bigger. God hates that. God hates that. Because you'll attract bigger people. And those bigger people have worked so hard to make their name important. Some of them get even offended if they are in a function and they are not recognized. And Jesus, when he's in a function, he wishes not to be recognized. But when somebody gets important, he gets so frustrated that he was not in the program in the humble before time. So it's those people who come in the area of abandoned abankulungu. And those people, they will come there and grieve that fellowship spirit, that simplicity of the children of God. Children of God will be not themselves. Now let's read again. Chapter 1, verse 25. The Bible say, I'm reading these verses. I know that you know them, but I just read them for podcast. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. You see, then the Bible say, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh. That's what I'm talking about here. Being wise after the flesh. But praying to God to bless you according to his will. After the flesh, not many mightier, not many noble are called. The answer is in verse 27, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world. Now, who can accept just being himself, that in the eyes of God, he is the foolish thing in the world? Like, I've lived with, I've got relatives in, I was born in the center of two families, and I've these big families, and amongst families, there's always powerful people, rich, powerful people, or, and there's always those who are weaker in, like, in becoming something. And I'm a very good observer, because God was going to use me, and he gave me this big family so that I can learn characters. And I found that reason why it's so difficult for this newborn salvation of this Holy Ghost Pentecostal religion is so difficult for those people who end up being Catholics and staying in those churches. Why is it so? It's because in the societies that they are living in, they are noble. They are noble. They are important people of the society, and they will never associate themselves with anything that will jeopardize that. That's if you know what I'm talking about, that's number one reason for many people going to hell. That's the number one reason. It's in the top of the list why Christ is rejected in any form of his manifestation. I don't care it's war, when there is a revival, when there is something that God brings. He can heal the sick, he can do the blessings, he can, okay, changes the life. Oh, Inganyam went there, came back not smoking, came back not drinking. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. But when it's gonna now, this religion is gonna test the integrity that the name of this family have in the society, then that child becomes a black sheep of the family. It could be Amadlozi. It could be whatever it is that is a standard, that if you, in that society, you betray, you are no longer. You know, when we go in rural homes, wherever we go, we are always outcasts. You know, when you come to people, you come in front of them. I don't care how humble. I mean, I'm one of the humblest people. I give money to poor people. I'm just not a proud person. But when I come, people sitting down, nobody, even if it's anyway, whatever, they'll praise me, they'll say, thank you, hey man, you are a good guy. But you'll find that these people are not themselves when I'm there. Not because they know I'm not gonna judge them. But I no longer live in that society. I left it. Also, and the rich, wherever the families. If you are really going to take the new birth and be entirely freed from all the structures of this world, and you start to please God in all effort, you will be relieved from all the social structures of this life, and you will never come back. That's the price they are not willing to pay. It's not about money. It's not about whatever morals. There are people who are more moral than us, who are not even saved. It's the price that you are no longer umfana wakabani sibongo awusazenza into zalaye ekhaya usihlazile la endaweni awuseyona indoda nje. Even if you can be a millionaire, but you are no longer a man according to that standard there. And the people who have grown to be loyal into that spirit of that place, and who have got great-grandfathers and great-fathers who have created a pyramid there to make their names recognized in that area, they're not going to sacrifice all that because you just became a born again. They're not going to stop all that. There are many people who do this misebenzi. Imagine when I was looking in rural areas where we come from, a family that doesn't do misebenzi, that doesn't do these parties and whatever, these things that bring people together, mqombothi, all those things, that family is never recognized. It's never recognized. So there are people, even if they don't believe in this ancestral worship, they are so educated to a level that they don't believe in those things. But they have to do them so that their family name will remain recognized as dignified. That's the mind, Bazalwane, that you have to catch up a revelation every time you pray to God. That are you not coming with that mind? Because God, if there's one thing God wants, that he just, when you read in James, after that verse that says, ask amiss, there's an angry verse that follows there. That you are adulterers and adulteresses. Don't you know that that friendship with the world is enmity to God? God becomes angry instantly you approach him like that. You think there's something important. That's why these people who are always praying, always asking things, God doesn't answer, because there is a sense of importance in them. When they suffer, when God doesn't answer them, when they're going through problems, they question God because they think God should have been perfect to them. Because they still carry that mind somewhere. Others, when there are problems, they think they should pray too much. You know that sometimes when we have problems, that's the time we should not pray too much. You must just thank God. That God, you know why I'm in this place. And you are so clever, all-knowing. And you are so good. That's the time you serve people. That's the time you're looking for who's weak, who's suffering, who's what. And you serve those people because you catch that revelation. But other people, that's the time they go around, they ask for prayers, and they you find this thing is carnal. He wants to be special now because he's been so much perfect before God. No one is so perfect before God. If Job was so perfect, why did everything hell had to go to him? God is in a mission here. And he wants to create a mind out of you. And until you catch that mind, all this reputation that you carry for yourself will be a prison for yourself. Because sometimes you must break. Sometimes you must break. There are things in your life that you have, you know, as we live, we have got measures. There are things that say, in my life, this will never happen. In my life, this will never happen. And God just allowed that to happen. And your mind just cannot comprehend. I lived the holiest life from my youth age. I avoided girls. I spoke against divorce. I was so the harshest of all things. I was the perfectionist. I married a virgin girl. I was running away from whores. And that woman just left. I stayed wanting to commit suicide in my Ginghete Plaza in there. Why am I going to explain this? I'm this holiness auntie. Divorce. I'm this perfectionist thing. How could God just, I've been running away from women naked in front of me, stationary everywhere. I've got a clean record. Now I'm going to have a divorce record. That's God. The things that you think you don't deserve, the things that you think he has to educate you, that you can be anything from hell to hate. It's just his grace. So others go there with some psychological mentality. They grew up in these noble families where things were perfect. And life doesn't become perfect. You go into debts. You go into problems. You go into marriage problems. You go, and they start to fight with God because they are using that whole, whatever the way they were raised up, that perfect thing they were raised up by. To them, it's a shame. It's a shame. I cannot go through this. God wants you to learn something. There's a mind of Christ you have to learn there. That's the problem, as well. That's why we go through things and we stay longer, because we have a mind that we are so better, these things should happen to other people. I remember when I was going through a lot in my life, and people were praying for me. Many things were happening in my life. Cars were being repossessed. The church, whole, the bunch of preachers that I raised up, they united, and they took the whole church once. They took the whole church out. We were left after a big revival. They destroyed everything. We had congregation in Scott, we had a congregation in Mzimkulu, had a congregation in the North Coast. When we had a revival, we would pack a hall. And these people just decided to conspire against me. And I went to Matende and I came back. There was no church. All of them left at once. We didn't have money even to pay for food. We didn't even have cars or repossessed. Things were falling apart. We were renting a place that had an upstairs. We ended up living in one room, me and my wife and the team and everybody. We suffered. We didn't have food in my den to eat sometime. And at that time, wife left, cars were repossessed. Like, the first one was repossessed, the second one was repossessed. The banks were closed. I didn't have even a card to go to a bank. I had to use the card, that's a POSIN. That's a card I could afford. At that time, God gave me some kind of I write Nazgut, I write codes. And one day I was writing a code, wanting to complain to God. And the Holy Spirit just took a pen and wrote, "If it's not you, whose child is supposed to suffer this?" And I thought about it. I said, in the face of the whole universe, if this is a bad luck, if this is something horrible, who was supposed to suffer it? Other people would have committed suicide. Other people would have cursed Christ and said he's useless. God knew that I'm going to be stronger. And everything was falling apart. But because I caught that one mind that, my goodness, God chose me for this. Who's supposed to? So whatever you're going through, who's supposed to get that shame if it's not you? If you're blacklisted, who's supposed to be blacklisted? It's not you. If you sleep without food, who's supposed to sleep without food? Forget that you rose in a home where that was the worst thing. It's happening to you now. And God is testing your mind. If you're going to be like this rich young ruler and fail to see how great is the person Christ who's in front of you now. God is testing your mind now. You never thought this was going to happen. You are educated. You are this. And your friends have achieved 1, 2, and 3. And now you feel you are behind. You think you're worthless. My goodness, God is testing your mind. What if he doesn't answer your prayers? Look at Moses. Sacrificed his life. He was in the big thing there with Pharaoh. He tried to help people. He sacrificed 40 years of his best life. Imagine when you are at 40, and that's, you have to go start afresh. For being a prince, now you're going to lose in booze. Look at the test of character. Look at his psychological mind that he had to deal with every day. He had to learn a new school now of being patient with sheep. He was living in the highs and highs where sheep were being handled by lowest people there. And it was the greatest test. In Egypt, people who are shepherds are lowest. But in the kingdom of God, shepherds are highest. He had to, that mind had to change. He had to learn it for 40 years. My goodness. And he had, why did he have to learn that? Because sheep and all these things are the most unwise animals. And now he had to have about 40 years to deal with the unwise people of God that he had to tolerate for next 40 years in the wilderness. He had to learn from sheep. That's what it happens. That person who have sacrificed so much, one day God says, you are not going to reach that land. You're going to die on this mountain. That's the God we're dealing with. He's not our puppet. He will decide overnight what happens to you. That's why I don't like this thing of people going around. When something doesn't happen right on them, they go around. No, sometimes just cruise in life. Let it be. So now, not many are noble, Barzillai. The young rich ruler got offended because of it. Are you offended? Because God is not answering your prayers the way. How do you see that you are offended? You are restless. You are desperate. You want a speedy answer. As if something has changed. You must find the mind of Christ in that time. And you will be at peace. I don't care you are. I'm not teaching that you must accept failure here. I'm not teaching that you must accept, demons, your children are sick and stuff like that, and you don't pray about it. No, I'm not accepting that. There is an element where the Holy Spirit will tell you that you have to fight. Sometimes the Holy Spirit, when he wants you something to get away, just he gives you what to do. I'm talking about situations where those prayers are not answered. And your mind wants to be confused. Your mind wants to question God. That's the time you must know that God wants to teach you something. Now, I hope we're still blessed. We go to another verse. Luke 1. I hope it's still a blessing. Is it still a blessing? Let just one brother say amen if it's still and then you show it's still helping somebody. Amen. Thank you. It encourages me because I'm an evangelist. I love preaching to people and see how they react. Now when you're a podcast, you don't know. Luke 1. Okay, let's start with 1 Corinthians 3:19. 1 Corinthians 3:19. Someone I got mute tongue here. It's just irritating me. Just mute. I don't know who's that person. 1 Corinthians 3. So that's where we fail, Barcelona. That's why we go through difficult things. God has called. If God is going to use you any mightier, there's mightier problems that you're going to face. That's why I used to tell people that don't wish those things. Don't wish to be a prophet. Don't wish to be an apostle. Don't just want to be the lowest of all. Just the hand, the whatever called. Brother Bram used to call himself a spare tire. Something that just sees a bazalwane washing, you know, servicing people, giving like Caesar Bazalwane, helping the poor, God, and just pastoring people. That's the greatest blessing. Don't seek this mighty ministries. You'll get through hell. That's why you find these Bushiris and all these people are failing today. They are in the. They wanted big things. Look at all the so-called big preachers. T.D. Jakes, Benny Hinn. Look at what curses follow them. Look at those things. It's not because it's that. My goodness, you pick a bigger fight, you'll fight bigger demons. 1 Corinthians 3:19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness. Okay, start afresh. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Now, when it's talking about our schooling, our upbringing, the best advices our parents try to make out of us, the Bible says that's foolishness. Because every time when you fall, when you get a misunderstanding, when you get challenged, you always go back to your strengths. That's why God demands you to die in your conversion. Because once there's problems in your way, you'll go back to your family. That's your strength. That's why you find people when they fail the Christian walk, they go back to whatever that was. If it was education, if he picks slides from being spiritual, he starts to register degrees and stuff because that was his strength. He can do that while he ignores the fact that his spiritual life is not right with God. Someone else will go back to entertainment, whatever that was his strength, that did not die. That's how people usually deal with it. So if you didn't really terminate that curtain between you and whatever your background was, when things get hard, because things will get hard, like Israel on the way in the wilderness, things got hard and they wanted to turn back. So there's times where you get so struck, you want to turn back. So you must make sure that you have burned all the bridges. Because you will turn back. Because if you destroy your life entirely, like they used to say when these Vikings, whatever these old warriors, when they entered a place, they burned their ship. So it's either they take over that island or they die. They burned their ship. And it took about 3 years to build the ship. So they knew that they have to fight for 3 years. So that's why other people go with God, others fail. Others, they come to God because they found a new family. They find, I've been helping poor people all this. They will come to church here. Others, the day you don't help them, they leave the church. Because their background, they come from poor places where a church or whatever was taken, whatever they've seen, that a church is a place where like handouts are given. So people like us have to get handouts from there. So when they're just doing it because when it's easy, to them, it's an entitlement. The day you don't do it, they fail. So be careful now, Kurukul, that whatever that you were, whatever God allows to come to you, there is a wall that it has to bring down. And God knows those walls. And now you will know that wall when you have passed the test. When you've passed the test, you'll know the wall. Why did God allow that? Like Job, why did God allow a perfect man like Job to suffer like that? Job understood later. He prayed for his friends. So you always will, when it's over, you'll understand. But when you're going through this religious curtain, you know that you are something better. You know, you are, you know, I've got people, after I went through a lot of things, who left me. They still don't trust me today. They left me. They didn't see anything else God did. They saw just one mistake. They said, no, it's over with him. They didn't pass that test. So what is the greatest challenge, Kaka? The greatest challenge are these people that God deals with, his children. That is our greatest test. God will have this bunch of these people which are intellectually stupid according to the standards of the world, who are being, God is dealing with them to do decisions that are self-hating in terms of just the normal way how people should behave. They live fashion, they live the fancy things of this life, they live the high life, they leave all this to be behind. They just go to a corner somewhere and wait for the coming of the Lord. And they are the most misunderstood people. And they are the most slow, easy people. You know, when you deal with them, sometimes you get frustrated and say, could not have God got a better people than the bunches got in the church? That's the people God put there to test the world and test those people who are not right with God. It's his children. Moses did not understand that God has made them to be like sheep. That's God ignores. Okay, let's read Luke. You see what I'm talking about. That's why you see people today are looking for better churches. They're looking for a fancy church, a church with whatever thing that is out there, glamour, whatever you call it, so and so must attend that church. That's why you find these old timers who are in God's army, and these old timers who are coming from Babupeng. All those who started churches backslidden. Any one of them who started his church, he backslid right away. I'm not going to call names because they are my fathers. It's even better those who were left, go assembles and they didn't start churches. They are still spiritual. All those who started churches that they are bishop of, trace me today. They backslidden. Check their doctrine. Check what they teach today. And compare with what they used to teach when God armies and all those times. They backslidden. Why? Because once you start a church, once you start to receive that mind, it's like a business plan. You know, how to make it prosper, how to make it attract a lot of people. You get in those churches, there's 15 million fundraisings, there's big plans. You're not going to bring people there who are going to be waiting upon the Lord. You're not going to do that by depending on the humility of a sheep. So that's the apex slide. They start to change their ideology. They start to have their mind with the wise people of the world. And they start to, that's how okay, all this other corruption and the gays and stuff is going to come in at the end of the day. Because if you want to uphold that status, you have to allow everything in. That's dangerous, Basala. So that's why God only wants his people out of the way, hidden somewhere. Not a big church, a class, it's just a humble thing somewhere. No big fleshly cameras and stuff and big light stage, just humble somewhere. If my club is under, that's fine. If they have a sound, that's even better, but they must be careful not to catch the spirit of the world, that spirit of music, to get into their midst. And why not tempt them? I'm not saying they must not be musical. I love music myself. But they must be careful why they want that. Because they might end up offending the simple children of God when they sing with their just voices and put celebrity voices there and God leaves. So it's the mind that God wants. That's how he keeps us suffering and rejected, to learn to deal with him and his children. Otherwise, he's going to allow the world to take over. Now look at Luke chapter 1, when I forgot who was this person was praising God. Chapter, verse 51 to 53. He had showed strength with, I think it was Mary, Mary praying. He says, he had showed strength with his arm. He had scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He had put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He had filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he had sent empty away. Woo! That's God we're talking about. Now, read this thing, a parliament, read this thing wherever where there is a big blow-up plan program that there's a God who will lift up the low people. Will we ever get an investment? Will we ever have millionaires come to invest in that? That's why I get people and change the gospel. They change it because they know that God deals with these low people. He deals with these people who are low, who are nothing. And if he has called you from a noble family, if he has called you from a high class, he's going to break you down until you can live with them. Because God's highest interests are his children. They are his golden treasure. What you are, a Mandela, you are Usuga from the royal family, that means nothing. That you must be. You must just forget that because you'll offend the children of God with that, and God will offend you. You must get to a place where you are living and serving and a blessing to them. Those are the people God is testing us with. When you read Matthew, that's why churches end up having a denomination, having this thing, this thing. They have this thing now going to be charismatic. Why? It's because there's a group of people with a certain mentality they want to impress. I was so happy when they were calling me in this crusade here. When they called me, they called me with those old timers who are still preaching the old thing. When they call each other, they call each other. They don't call me there. And I said, thank you, God. Because my preaching is not going to, whatever they're trying to build in these charismatic churches, I don't have a sermon for that. Actually, if it was for me, that we can, you have to tear down all these glaring churches and disappear there. Use those churches there for something else. Because a certain group of people who are not in the taste of God have to be attracted there by those sermons of prosperity and all those sermons of all these preachers there. It's a group of people who don't want to sell out their integrity in this world, who don't want to sell out, who don't want to die in whatever egocentric mentality they're living in. They want to go to God with that. And there has to be preachers who accommodate that. There has to be a theology that accommodates that. And before God, it's rubbish. It's saying to empty him. You know, sometimes I'll sit here in my bed and just ask myself, God, how can you just take us, nobodies, give so much revelation, and leave those people there hungry, eating on the bean spiritually? If I did not sell out everything that was my so-and-so, God would not have revealed so much. That's it. You cannot live in the both side. In England, they say you cannot burn the candle on both sides. You have to choose a side. That's unfortunately. And once you choose that side, you must go all the way. And you will never be important. I've got friends, I've got people all over. And I'm in Bashir and Jalen, because they didn't want to go all the way. Still want to be something important to his family. Still want to be important in there. Still want to be important in the society I live. I'm gone. Because I want the greatest foolishness that God can ever give to me. Actually, I was telling my wife that even staying in town here, to me, I hate it. I wish I was staying far. Tanas, I go round, 15 people, not even having a camera. It's a mission of commission that pushes me. Because I know how God thinks. God hates these things, these celebrity glamour things. He hates those things. So be careful if he has allowed you to go there, that you must be always conscious that you don't cross the line, end up representing yourself. So people die when they can't understand why God allowed this. And they become by cyclone where God is not answering this person and this person doesn't understand, and God can wait until you die. We're hooked up on that. Because sometimes you're looking for a miracle, God is looking at you, he's seeing a miracle. But you are busy looking for a miracle because in your mind you're comparing your life with something else that God did not plan for you. And you are looking for a miracle while God sees a miracle. Israel was in the wilderness. God was seeing the most precious thing. And they were comparing themselves with the Moabites, comparing themselves with other things, and until they wanted a king. But in the eyes of God, they were the most precious thing, to a level where that false prophet was called Balaam. He went up in the mountain there to prophesy. He looked at them and he said, "Oh, I will like a unicorn, O Israel." They were complaining there, but the prophet who was in the mountain seeing them, he said, "These people cannot be cursed." So when God is dealing with you and God is bothering you, you must allow him all the way. He's going to take you sometimes so low. Don't mind. Don't complain. Maybe he wants to teach you. You are so puffed up in your life. You are so principled in your life. You are coming from a principled background. You are taught that you will never beg. You will never ask. And God has to teach you sometimes to beg. And if you don't accept that, God will leave you cycling until you die in this world with a broken heart. Your brother had the help, but you are still stuck in your old pride. You didn't say it's your old pride. You thought, you know that in our mentality, in our psychology, Babu Pengu used to say, a man doesn't know, no man wants to see himself cursed. In your mind, the goodness, what you think is your goodness, your righteousness, it's very hard for you to see that, the evilness of it. As I'm telling you that, your upbringing, you know, if in your home, you know, you were never, you grew up in this home where, you know, I mean, there was integrity, and it's good. And now God is taking you from that home to the church. That's a different home. In this home, there are people who grew not in that mentality again. There is people who grew in another mentality. And God wants to mix all this thing and bring up children. And you're not going to keep your old stance. You have to learn the mind of Christ, how to behave now. And God is going to allow these hardships to break you, to learn. And you must be careful when there's something like this episode. All this thing. You must know that thing is going to tempt you. Because it's fighting with what you think you are. And what you think you deserve. Oh, what a powerful thing. So, okay. Let's read Matthew 18. But then, Sonke, if you can accept what God is doing in Peter's age, we can just all be happy. Matthew 18, chapter verse 10 to 14. Let's read now. "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of the Father which is in heaven." My goodness. Now he's talking about the people which are foolish. The people Abba is pugupugu. You know when I've seen Abba Shembe, I've got friends, Goshem, I've got friends in all these different groups, Catholics. And when they look at what, I'm not talking about the backslidden denomination, these ones like Assembles and all those, Labo Sebi, they are the people of the world now. Then they're talking about the no-name churches and the spiritual churches that are just people. They look at fools. I mean, one of my relatives once came. He was advising me, one of my fathers. He said, "Now, Ikamalako now is so big. Now you must start making branches now. And this thing." And I said, "Yes, yes, yes," because, you know, I'm dumb dad. But I if he knows that's the trap to Babu Peng, that's the trap that trapped all these people. That when God lifts up his revival, you allow the people of the world to normalize it. We are suffering for the fact that we are not normalizing it. We are suffering because we are relying on very few people to finance it. But God wants it to be like that. God doesn't want a big thing that is there some kind of a logo. Everybody in Konzala, but God wants someone to know about a hidden. Remember, this bunch of people are going to be raptured soon. And God, how God is going to rapture people who are known everywhere. So God wants his children to be secretly disappearing. That's what I was telling Abazanda, even this YouTube thing. You know, I mean, when time comes, the true children won't be in those YouTube and stuff. Only sermons will be there. True children will be worshiping where there's not even a Wi-Fi. But God will be doing something that cannot be done by any electronics. So that's what I'm saying. He's saying there are people who are treated different in heaven than other people. Well, Satan has a song. We're all children of God. But there's a group of people who have got angels that are always behold the face of the Father. Who? And those people, how dare you touch them? How dare you do something to offend those people? Because God wants those people for himself. He doesn't want them to be denominationalized. He doesn't want them to be culturalized. He doesn't want them to be made branded by any man's name. He wants them for himself. The question remains, are you one of them? Those people are called the bride of Christ. God has got a special mission. He sends prophets and great men to rescue those people from all those church of councils, all these false prophets, all these denominations. He sends mighty men to take them, not to make them their people, to enrich themselves for his own. No, to hide them, like that man that was hiding the 7,000 in the cave. So this man who's been used by God must die, and his mind must be sold out to Christ to be the one, to be trusted as one of those who can serve that group. That's why, children of God, we go through. There are people who are asking for many things, but God doesn't give them because their mind is still wrong. But when you can ask for something from God to do good, like to give to the poor, whatever, to do good, but your mind, there's a lesson you haven't learned. You haven't learned that the Simon Lulaxona can be a praise item. You are desperate, want to coming out of the fire. You haven't learned that there can be a fourth person in the fire. And you haven't learned that even if that fourth person doesn't come, we won't bow. So that's why the Bible says you ask amiss. Doesn't mean you're gonna go to Mujwala and throw parties. No, you might be the godliest, but with the wrong mind. You might be the holiest with the wrong mind. So I written some things here, just a commentary. I think I'm done reading verses. I'm just a commentary I wrote down here. The first one, I'm talking about this group of people, abanengelosi, that is fighting for them. They're the group of people that they don't think so much highly of themselves. In any situation, they want to serve. In whatever trials, they just say, okay, let me lose. They don't think so much highly of themselves. That's why God will collect these black sheep from families and nobodies, and to try to get these people that will have that mentality. You know, they are, number two, they are those people that are just being found by God. Once they are found by God, God become everything in their lives. There are many people who want to love God, who want to serve God. But the problem, they are so busy with many things in their life. They've got so many crowds to please, so many eyes to bring attention to, that that event, God saving them, won't be the biggest thing. That's many people. They have to entertain this one, entertain. They cannot allow a life, a meal, NG, just being a lover of God. To them, they've got so much. But these ones are those who can stop the world and just serve God. The last part, you know, and they are the group that can offend 100% the world. To keep God, a top thing on their life, or whatever revelation that God has given to them, that they will, of they are ready to offend. If Ugulukul today brings a verse and the prophet tells us, no, we all have system in a machiscope, they can offend the whole world to obey that. That's a group of people. It's not those who are holier than thou, who have got the highest reputation, who've got the biggest church, who have, no. It's people who have nothing to lose, and whatever God wants. You know, I used to ask myself, God told me 3 times to leave Msebenzi, and I left it. And I'm still called a fool by the Bursary Council today, where I left Bursary. And I left Quatrans. I remember when I came the third time, I signed a 10-year plan. They said, you are going to sue in this company if you leave within 10 years. And I didn't understand, why would God allow me to leave work and go experience Ukhlukunyezwa kwabazalwane and come back being brokenhearted and being lost marriage and all stuff? But I can tell you today, about 60% of the wisdom I have today, I teach with, I ngabang nayo if I didn't go through that. I'm talking about that. I was just preaching the Bible and the holiness of God, and about 60% of what I'm giving, even to you now, I would not be giving. But at that time, someone who's obuka kude, what did Skakane gain from that? He left work, he went to suffer, he lost everything, he came back to work. Nobody wanna live that life, but God knows, I know, that there's the greatest riches of my ministry I learned from there. So you see that the mind that's in you, you will never know until you go through that problem. So that's why, Kebazalwane, immotivate is corrupt. So when, before you ask anything, God must give you the motive, because our motive is wicked. We are a wicked people from birth. Bible says, Psalm 58, verse 3, Bible says, we are astray from our mother's womb. We come to this world speaking lies. That's our investment. Bible says, their throats are the throats of a serpent. That means everything that comes of our mouth is serpent. Even the way we look at things, even the way we judge others, when we look at the newspaper, when we see Dr. Umzalo, anything that we, when we look at people, we look them with this horror. We, our judgments, our thing. That's why I discourage. I'm saying this on record. And I pray about Nkulunkulu, wherever they are, if they can find grace, they can listen to me now. I discourage Abazalo to be so much forward in this social media thing. I'm discouraging Abazalo to know everything that happens on Facebook, on Instagram, on news. I discourage that, because you will catch that spirit. You know, Abantu can be surprised that I'm a public figure. I've got like the social media followed by thousands of people. God, you cannot believe that I hardly spend 5 minutes on any social media. It's either I've got a social media, TikTok, I've got a social media on Facebook, I've got I opened a social media for Lindwe Zamzama Woodwork. I've got about 5 subscribers for now, because I don't want to use Abanda Basic Mina for God, but my subscribers for my personal things. Now, the time I spend, I only upload 5 minutes. Upload the video. I'm done. If Kwenzegile by mistake, I stay there, 5 minutes is too much. Why am I doing that? I don't want to know what is happening there. Because whatever is happening there, you will fall in love. Remember, you are still a human being. You will gradually fall in love with the pressures that are out there, and you will start to complain before God because you are not like that thing that's out there. You won't see that change. You won't see. It's just gradually changing you. That's why women end up wearing makeup here. All of them now in churches here. Because it has become to a place where it's impossible to look at yourself as beautiful unless you look like that. Because you are looking there. Me, I remember when sometimes visitors come to my house and they open these women, desperate wife something. Or sometimes I'm in a sitting room and looking at those women, the way they paint themselves, they look like some, I don't know, the ugliest thing I've ever seen, like a woman look like a cake like that. I say, what is that beauty? Why? It's because where I stay, the things I look in most of the time, that thing is just horror. But if you look at those things too much, you will fall in love with them. You will think the longer makeup panga is ugly. And that's the battle. That's why it's your choice. Maybe God knows because I'm weak, He's protecting me. Maybe when because you are strong, but I'm warning you, you will catch a spirit. May I try not to know. I try not to know what Manlema is saying. I try not to know what Zuma is saying. I try not to know. I don't want to know those things. Because they're going to get into my spirit. I'll end up commenting about it. I'll end up being in that thing. And I'll end up having to force a bandana about Nkulunkulu by my influence, either to go to politics or whatever, because I spend my time there. We have a message to believe. We've got sermons to listen to that have a promise that they will usher us to the second coming of Christ. So that will be the end of my exhortation. Check yourself. You remember in the Bible, there's a guy called Simon the Sorcerer who was asking for the Holy Ghost. He's a perfect picture of what is asking for the Holy Ghost so that you may spend in your pleasures. Of using money by a gift, if it was a kubega now inside here. And God said, your heart is not, you have got no business on this matter. It was just your heart is not right. So God wants to help you to cry the tears of joy in the midst of the storm. Many people have failed in this journey. Many people failed to board this flight because they wanted to bring the baggage of the world, the baggage of celebrity or whatever thing, family matters. God wants you alone. As you came alone from your mother's womb, God will get your soul out of this body, and your salvation must be yours alone. Inquire from those looking for the higher inspiration. Inquire from the prophets of God. But always know that what will make God be so proud of you are the sacrifices that you will take alone. Not by your husband, not influenced by your wife, alone. Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Are you really alone, zealous for the things of God? Then God bless you. Then you will understand God's ways, because God is a king, Bazalwane. We must never forget that. God is a king, and He's got a kingdom. And no king can ever run a kingdom being pushed to and fro by other people's things. If God has begotten you in this, adopted you in this kingdom, I'm telling you, be careful of the way you think. You can never just come in somebody's kingdom, or any king for that matter, and demand your way out of his kingdom. What is important in a king is a kingdom. So if your prayers are not answered, ask yourself, Were they part of the kingdom or were they personally private things? Like I said in the preacher's preaching, that woman, Wana, he had to learn a lesson. He had to learn a very terrible lesson that you must never go ask for a child from God while God is looking for a prophet. Never go to ask for a child, for a son, while God is looking for a Samuel. She went there grieved by Penina. She went there frustrated, competitive, wanting to prove a point. How many of us go to God with that mentality? How many of us go to God with a sorrowful heart, with a shameful heart because of what we are going through? He went there wanting a revenge because she knew that she is more favored than Penina. Husband proved that. So she thought she's entitled. Now she went to God and she forgot that God has a kingdom. God is not just running your family affair. God is not just running your bank account. God is running his kingdom. Sometimes your faith can be good and God can glorify your faith for your personal needs, just for his name to be glorified. But once you come to a place where you want to be normal with God and live with him normally, make your affairs his affairs, then you have to learn the kingdom. Then she came there. She came there and God did not answer her prayers for years. God did not answer her prayer for a child because she was looking for a revenge. Until one day she went to the temple and saw Eli sitting there and saw how the sons of Eli were behaving in the temple and all them sleeping with girls. And she saw that a man child who's going to serve in this place, who's going to be a holy boy, who's going to be, he saw that there has to be, because sons of Eli are empty uniforms. God needs someone here. And then he started to pray silently, and God revealed to him. And he said, God, now if it comes, I'm going to give it to you. Because she knew that God is looking for a prophet. How many of your prayers you pray and you don't reach a place where you get an inspiration of what God wants? All you want is to be great. All you want is to be used by God. All you want is to be whatever you want. But how many of us gets there? And when she accepted that calling and God gave him a son, and she took that son back to that Eli. And that day he was blessed even by his husband that they're going to have started to have many children for her own. So please, God is running a kingdom. And if you have came so close that he has assigned one of those angels to you that behold the face of the Father, then your life will never be yours. You will never, no matter how you try to go to be normal, we are with family, to try to go to your old friends, things will be dear, my God. You will never, you must continue this lonely journey because you have got angels that behold the face of the Father. One attitude that you change, those angels, they report to the Father instantly. And the Father deals with you instantly because you have become part of his face. So that's the reason why it's our mind that has to be transformed. And it's transformed by bad experiences, Basalan. You don't read a book and get the transformation of life. No, just something God is going to allow to happen. And you have to learn there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for such a small exposition. Here are your children, Lord. Thank you so much for these people that have come this way to receive this blessing. Hallelujah, Lord. Kulu kulu, some of us are not even right, even physically no more, even emotionally, heart conditions no more, because of problems we went through, Glorbizo. But the treasures and riches is Pumenao, oh God. Sometimes abantu bedbelwa nathi, some even die. Abasiphikisayo nje, there's a wrath of God comes against them. Sometimes still wrong, Lord, because of how much you have invested in us. Our angels cannot stand nonsense, cannot stand people don't understand the things we went through. That's why I distance myself from people, because I'm protecting them, lest they be wrong, Lord, and they don't understand what God is trying to do because of the lack of the transformation of the mind. Now, bless them, Father. Don't allow anything wrong to happen. Give them a glory that has never been seen. Let those angels be attached to them constantly, and let the greatness of God be seen amongst us. We ask this for the glory of Christ and for the manifestation of the sons and the daughters of God. And the whole church said, Amen, hallelujah.